What would you say you do here?
I'm actually focusing on my career.
But y'all having a career day?
It's career day.
I have people skills.
And I'm here to say,
I am good at dealing with people.
I'll be someday when I grow up.
Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're going to learn today.
Innovate like a startup. Deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeed up and ready because it's going to be a great day.
I know you're going to dig this.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Aero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 71. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Aero, and joining me once again is Mr. John Nicholson. John, how you doing, friend?
Doing well.
Man, it's like weird. We have done the last three podcasts in Palo Alto, so we recorded them back to back, but we've been releasing weekly episodes. But the truth is we did those a while back, so this is our first one in a little while, John.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little rusty, Pete. Like, you know, gotta get back on the bike and try not to run into the wall, so...
Yeah, please don't run into the wall. All right, well, this episode is entitled Career Day, and the genesis of this idea, if you will, was a blog post that I read by you, John, on your blog site, thenicholson.com. You had a blog post called, So You're Thinking About Taking an Offer, What Do You Need to Know? And I thought this was a really good blog post that covered a lot of information around job questions that you might have if you're in the interview room, things to consider about a company, lots of information around going through that process of interviewing. And that got me thinking about the whole idea of our whole industry, our career field. And so there are so many different jobs that someone could take, whether it's something like we do, technical marketing, whether it's sales, whether it's engineering, product management, product marketing. There's so many different pieces of the puzzle that make any product come to market. And so I thought, what a great idea. Let's find out a little bit more about these individual jobs and maybe share some other tips around getting hired. What do you think?
Yeah, it's something that we've been wanting to do for a while just because a lot of people don't understand beyond being a direct practitioner of IT, all the things that are available, I guess, within the industry and how the sausage is made, so to speak, of products coming to fruition.
Absolutely. And so joining us today is one of our newest employees to the team. He recently went through this process, so I thought he'd be a perfect guy to come in and join the podcast with us. Coming to the podcast for the very first time, Mr. Miles Gray. Miles, welcome.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good, sir. That's a bit of an accent you got there. Are you from Jersey?
Yeah, totally. No, it's really subtle. I'm from Northern Ireland, which is an extension of the UK. Some people don't know that, so I figure I may as well call that out. I don't think it's that strong, but you guys always sort of bend in half whenever I talk about anything. So I figure there must be something to it.
What number comes after 32?
33.
Now, Miles, thanks for joining us on this one. I know I've been talking to you a lot about coming on in the future. I'm looking forward to you. You're a vSAN expert. You've got a lot of good blog posts out there and a lot of good stuff. So we're definitely going to bring you on again. But thank you for joining this unique podcast on Career Day.
Yeah, no worries. It'd be fun to talk about.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. So, John, before we ask Miles about some of his experiences coming to VMware, why don't you give us the quick rundown of what your blog post was about?
So one thing I keep having reoccurring conversations with friends who are looking at getting a new job. And, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side. But also once they get a new job, they discover, oh, it's not really as great because of this, or there was these great benefits that I didn't realize. I also used to be a hiring manager, so I used to put together offer packages. And what really shocked me was how many people just focus on compensation as a top line, here is going to be your salary, and then ignore all of the other benefits, all of the other, be that financial, you know, things like stock or RSU, ESPP, things like that, retirement. But they also just don't know what questions to ask. Understanding the team and its culture, understanding the career progression, and where, you know, where this job's going to fit into that for you. So it's divided into sections. There's questions about the job itself. So for instance, in IT, you know, what services are outsourced? What are they doing? What does maintenance scheduling look like? Are you going to be up at 3 a.m.? Stuff like that. There's questions about the team, you know, noticing that it may be a red flag if you never get to meet the actual manager you'll have. Maybe HR is hiding them from you for a good reason.
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of these are basically there's stories, you know, I put them on here as, you know, a little one. Here's a question. Here's a 2-line sentence. A lot of these actually have some hilarious stories behind them of people who got bamboozled when they showed up to work and are like, wait, what is this job? What did I sign up for? And the last section is compensation. You know, and it's in America, we have things like 1099 versus W-2, which can be a huge difference in tax implications for how you're paid. But also things like how to look at bonus, how to look at insurance, how to look at some of the different stock and retirement things. Also just general flexibility in the job. Things like paternity leave, vacation, flex time. I took a job once not realizing that I had zero vacation and that there was no flexibility. Yeah. Versus, I mean, obviously, I took all of July off this past year. So things are a bit different here. So the blog post tries to take the top kind of 50 things you need to think about looking at a new job and summarize those together.
Yeah, it was really good. Miles, let me put you on the spot here. You just came to VMware. Is there anything you can think about that maybe you would have done differently in the interviewing process? Or is there something that you didn't realize before you started the interview process?
That's interesting. As for changing stuff that I did during the interview process, I don't think so because I am here. So by extension, that means I did it okay. As far as stuff that I didn't realize, yeah, it's a lot more chilled out than I thought it would be. I thought it'd be a lot more hectic, a lot more chaotic, but it's very sort of mellow. Take your time, make sure you make good content. You know, there's no sort of hard deadlines except for obviously a launch, but you know, it's way out there and I don't know, it's been pretty good so far.
He's so new.
Pete, I feel like you need to have that clip from Office Space of where, like, where's that TPS report?
Exactly. Yeah, that's good. And so you're speaking specifically of your role, which is technical marketing. And a lot of folks probably don't even know what technical marketing is, what some of these other roles are. I was actually looking at the VMware human resources page, and I looked at all the different jobs out there. There's so many jobs. I didn't even know what these different titles were. I mean, if you just go down a list, you're bound to find a job. I was like, partner solution engineer, landed global account executive, MBA intern, staff engineer. See, what's the difference between a staff engineer 2 and a senior systems engineer and a preset? So there's all these different roles, absolutely, in any company. But I thought what would be interesting, since we are in the storage and availability world, I thought it would be interesting to just get some insight from some folks that are doing the jobs that make this awesome software that we support sort of come to market. And so what we did was a few weeks ago in Palo Alto, Glenn Sizemore, who is on our team, went around and grabbed a few interviews from some folks that do some of the important jobs that make vSAN come to market. So we got some interviews from a product manager, Mr. Ben Meadowcroft, an engineer, Mr. Patrick Dirks, the lead of the sales engineer team in APJ, Mr. Greg Mulholland. And then we also got an interview from Mr. Ken Wernerberg, who tells us a little bit about what tech marketing is. And so let's play a few of these clips, and then we'll talk about the different roles. So the first one we'll talk about is product management. And this one is actually interesting because the gentleman that we interviewed, Mr. Ben Meadowcroft, he's actually now at Rubrik, an amazing product manager. So I know he's going to do great things over there. This was his very last day at VMware, and it was the very last thing he did for VMware. So that was kind of cool. So here's Ben talking about being a product manager.
So Ben, how would you describe your role here at VMware?
Well, I think the product management role is really all about making sure we're delivering the right products for our customers, you know, solving their problems, making sure that we're doing so in a way that really addresses both the business needs and, you know, solves the technical challenges that they face.
So tell me the story of when you realized you wanted to get into product management.
Oh, that's a good one. It was quite a few years ago. I just moved to a new startup company in the UK, and I was a software development manager there. And because it was a startup, you had to wear many hats. And one of the things, as well as managing the engineering team, I had to go and talk with the customers to figure out what we were going to build. And that was the part of the role that I actually really enjoyed the most. And that's not a typical software development manager role. So I was like, hey, you know, what's this role that I'm doing? What's it called? I found it was product management. And then I kind of transitioned my career over into being a product manager, and I've loved it ever since.
What are three things that you love about your current job?
Well, oh gosh, there's lots of things that I really love about it. Let's see. I think the first one is really the satisfaction that you get as a product manager, being able to see something through from beginning to end. So, you know, that discussion with the customers, understanding what their issues are, really being able to dive deep into that to figure out what that pain point is, and then being able to bring something through to completion and, you know, shipped and delivered to customers, it really addresses that. You know, when you're able to do that and see that you're solving that customer's pain point, for me, that's really satisfying as a product manager. You know that you've built the right thing for the customer. So that's kind of the first one, just that loop of satisfaction for me. The second one, you know, here at VMware, it's been really awesome working with a lot of the teams that I've been able to work with. And I particularly love working with the engineering teams, because as we're looking to solve those issues and, you know, build something for the customer, all these questions come up. You know, people need clarification. They want to understand the context of why we're solving something. And, you know, working with the engineering teams as they're asking all these questions so that they can build the best product for the customer. It's been amazing just to work with a real high caliber of people in that role. And then the third thing is just kind of like me personally, I'm kind of a data geek. I just love digging into data. So, you know, any kind of product analytics, you know, understanding how customers are using the system, you know, getting telemetry and figuring out what's popular, what's not popular, you know, how customers are using the system. I just love digging into that. So that kind of data geek is kind of my personal thing that I really like to have as well as part of the PM role.
Yeah, fantastic. So tell me something that people don't tell you before you take this job.
Okay, well, you know, product management is just such a wide-ranging job. There's just like a whole bunch of different things that you can do and have the opportunity to do as a product manager. One of the things I think that I didn't quite appreciate before I came into the role was really the cross-team collaboration and kind of the influence that you can have across multiple teams. You know, not, and I don't just mean, you know, within the teams that are building a specific product, but across teams that are building different related products, and, you know, having that ability to collaborate with teams that are building stuff in adjacent markets and looking at how we can maybe deliver some synergies for our joint customers and things like that. So that's really an area that I didn't really look, you know, have much thought of before I moved into product management. But once you're in product management and you're talking with customers, really seeing all the variety of things that they're working with, it really opens up a lot of opportunities and gives you a lot of scope for having discussions with other people and across different teams.
And finally, from black and blue to ultra crispy ashes, just how crispy do you like your bacon?
I like my bacon English style. I am not a fan of American bacon with your tiny little thin strips of bacon. You know, give me some proper thick bacon, please. That's my preference.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time today, Ben.
I always knew he was a bacon terrorist.
Yeah. I didn't know if I should resent him for that because I really do love American bacon, or if I should be interested because I've never really tried bacon from England. I think I need to go there and try that.
You don't get back bacon over in the States?
You know, we can get anything, but whether we choose to is another matter. One thing he did say on a more serious note that I did like was talking about the being able to see that problem from the customer, talking to the customer, and then see it all the way through. And it can't be understated how long of a journey that is sometimes for the PMs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it takes a long time to scope the issue, get that done, get it through engineering, get it through QE, get to a launch vehicle. You know, if there's cross dependencies from other types of code, maybe you're doing some type of integration with something else, you've got to get work with another team, you've got to collaborate with them and get that all to come together.
Yeah, that's a certain skill set to be a product manager. Absolutely. I mean, there's so many moving pieces and there's so much responsibility. If you've got this huge product that you want to make sure is the best that it can possibly be, there's so many different things that have to happen. You need to be able to communicate to engineering. You also need to be able to listen to customers. I love the fact that Ben added his own geek aspect of it was by pulling analytics and getting true data and adding that to his process for being a good product manager. I thought that was interesting.
It's also interesting seeing oftentimes where people will be shouting right now, I need this feature right now, and having the vision that no, all right, by the time I get that feature to market, it's going to be 18 to 24 months.
Yeah.
And that feature is not going to be relevant. People are going to have moved on. Now, the flip side is you didn't want to be the guy going all in on OpenStack in 2009 or, you know, even containers right now, just because the, you know, the commercialization market may not be there. So
what's
you
wrong
can,
with OpenStack? It's perfect.
No, it's great. My point is you can not only undershoot as a PM, but you can also overshoot and be that guy who's like, oh yeah, blockchain based, you know, green container, you know, hybrid, you know,
IoT.
And you're like, you've built these things and people don't realize how many products ship that do that like hit all the buzzwords and then just quietly get put in a corner. Or if it's a startup, they just quietly fail. And so there is a lot of making sure you don't overshoot the future, because for every, you know, $1 billion product or company, there were 10 people who thought of the idea first. It's just they were too early to market.
Yeah. I would say another caution, right, as a product manager, is to not try to boil the ocean, not try to get everything done or listen to every single customer that has a very specific need. And then they try to influence you into getting that into the product. I know that's a common issue as well.
I think that's why he thinks it's important to take data from these kind of things so you can actually quantify the business need, right? So if you have a bunch of different cases that people are saying, this is the most important thing in the world, you know, everything's going to burn down unless you do this tomorrow, that's not very useful unless you can actually quantify how many people that's going to affect or, you know, whose lives that's going to improve.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That whole data-driven, because it's weird. If you just listen to customers, you'll end up with some strange outliers. You know, that person demanding, hey, I need VMDK support for 400 terabyte VMDKs. And looking at the data and going, all right, no one really creates volumes that big. And then also sometimes asking, should we create this feature? Yes, there's some limited benefit, but also there's infinite possibility to shoot yourself in the foot with. So
you spent so much time wondering if you could, you never thought if you should.
I love Jurassic Park.
Nice.
Yep.
So another part of this, probably one of the bigger parts of this whole cycle, is the actual engineer. We were fortunate enough to grab an interview from one of the dev managers of Virtual Volumes, Patrick Dirks, and he shared his take on being an engineer. So here's Pat.
Patrick, could you describe the role of an engineer here?
Well, that's quite a lot to cover there. If you're familiar with curling, you know, these guys that run in front of these big heavy bricks sliding down the ice, sweeping left and right to make the thing go exactly where they want it to. That's kind of what my job is. I'm the guy with the broom.
Outstanding. So if you don't mind, could you tell me the story when you realized that you wanted to be an engineer?
Well, I've been an engineer at VMware for probably a decade or so before I became a manager. And it really became a manager when there was a project that I wanted to make sure got done that didn't have anybody to manage the team. So I kind of stepped into the role.
Fantastic. What are three things that you love about your current job here?
Three things I love. Well, I get to work with really brilliant people. That's always a treat. I get to influence the course of products that I care about, and that's really nice. You're not just, you know, at the whim of somebody else. And in the end, I get to deliver really great products to our customers, which is thrilling. And then talk about it, present it, get the feedback, really feel ownership of it.
Yeah, that can be really rewarding. What is something that people don't tell you about this job before you take it? When you're going through the interview, what's the hidden truth?
Hidden truth? Well, I think what took me the most adjustment was going from being a technical expert in a particular field to letting other people be the experts and knowing when there are subjects that really, even though I had an opinion on it, I should probably just keep my mouth shut and let the people who really own the work make the decision and do it whatever way they think is best instead of doing it in whatever way I may feel is best.
Yeah, it's a good way to find that hidden innovation that's out there hiding in the woods. So lastly, before I let you get back to work building the future, the most important question of the day. Patrick, is a hot dog a sandwich?
Oh, that's a tough call. No, I wouldn't say a sandwich because a sandwich requires two distinct pieces of bread and a hot dog is a single bun.
Outstanding. Thank you so much for your time.
So I'd like to point out his response on the hot dog a sandwich question. While he is a structural purist here on his sandwich construction, he made no statement about actual ingredients. So, I mean... Can I do, you know, is a Chip Butley a sandwich? Is ice cream between waffles a sandwich?
Fair point.
I mean, for all we know, he could be an ingredient rebel.
Well, I mean, a sandwich in the UK is different, I gather, from what you guys call a sandwich. So you would describe what we say as a burger as a sandwich, whereas we have anything that is between two slices of bread is a sandwich. Like you could put spaghetti in there if you wanted to, still a sandwich.
Wow.
Again, a Chip Putley and other weird stuff. So
right.
Nice, nice. But yeah, engineering is a very common job. Not something I could do personally. I don't think I have the brain for that. To be so deep into code. I've tried to do very early days. I think I started doing some coding in college and I just knew right away it was not for me. I was like, ooh, this is not for me. Miles, you do some programming, don't you?
I wouldn't really say it's programming. It's more hacking at a keyboard with my hands, sort of like big meat hook things and hoping something works at the end of it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't ever show it to a programmer because they would probably go into coronary arrest.
Right.
But I mean, if I have a point solution that needs a problem or there's something wrong with a home automation thing or something, yeah, I'll bang out a script for it.
Sure.
Doesn't mean I should be working on large scale software problems.
Fair enough.
I like the guy with the broom thing. That's a very sort of...
Yeah.
Have you not been watching curling? I mean, did you not see Someone actually got kicked out of curling for juicing for banned substances this past week.
Oh my goodness.
I thought this was the Olympic sport for like dudes, you know, and they're with dad bods. Like it made no sense to me.
For retirees.
Yeah. I want to retire early and, you know, have an Olympic curling career. There's my aspirations.
Juice up for it as well.
Yeah, and juice up for it. Awesome. Well, once the software is designed, it needs to be sold, right? Once it's on the truck, it needs to be sold. And so there's a whole field of folks they call sales engineers or SEs in just about every company. So we got a chance to interview the manager of all of the SEs for APJ at VMware, Mr. Greg Mulholland. And here's what he had to say about being an SE.
Yeah, so most of our SEs, I guess, are involved in the pre-sales element of what we do at VMware. So they are out there meeting customers, talking about the value of vSAN as a technology, talking about other technologies, I guess, that we have in the BU as well. They're really a supporting arm to the sales business, to, you know, the brains, I guess, behind the sales teams, I like to say. So you know, they're a, you know, great bunch of guys. We're, you know, very privileged to have a lot of them, you know, distributed around the region.
So tell me the story when you realized you wanted to get into this job.
Yeah, look, I've been working with the vSAN team for a little while. I was a systems engineer myself in that team. And as we expanded the business across APJ, Asia Pacific, and Japan, I knew that there was, you know, a little bit more to it. There was definitely going to be some elements that we really needed to make sure that we had some leadership, someone who had a great interface with the business unit, the engineering team, the product management team. And as someone who had a lot of those relationships, I thought it's a great opportunity to bring some of that connectivity to, you know, to our teams that are in far part of the world, I guess, comparative to the US or Palo Alto, such as Japan and you know, Singapore and others as well.
Oh yeah, you're dealing with a huge cultural swath there. What are three things that you currently love about this job?
Well, I think, you know, we're sitting here in Palo Alto. I've been here for the week, actually, with the team, you know, and I've had the opportunity to talk to many of the product managers on a lot of the, you know, the stuff that we're doing, you know, run past some of the engineers and some of our executives. It's been a thing, you know, such as a guy, you know, like me, someone from Melbourne, grew up in Melbourne, worked in tech most of my life. I got to the stage where, you know, interfacing with these people and talking to these people and having the impact on our product in the market is something I never thought when I joined VMware I thought I could ever do. So I love that element of it. I was saying this to someone else the other day, I love being in the field talking to customers and seeing the reality of what customers are doing in IT today. And you know, sometimes, you know, we get a little bit ahead in the industry of, you know, where things are going to go. But when you start talking about customers and how they're dealing with today's problems, but also how they're planning for future problems, it really brings the nature of how important the work we do at VMware is. And I love that. The third thing I really love about this role particularly is the fact that it's demanding but autonomous at the same time. Like I have a great degree of flexibility and a great balance between, you know, my home life and, you know, for someone who's on the road quite a lot across APJ, that home life balance and things like that is just absolutely something that I could not live without.
Yeah, absolutely agree on that one, as someone else who has spent quite a bit of time in the air. What is something people don't tell you about this job before you take it?
Maybe I knew a little bit about the travel, but that's... I guess going back to my first point just before around the fact that how closely you can connect with the executive team, not only just in the BU, but outside of that. I guess I'm in a relatively privileged position in that sense, but how closely we can interface and connect with the engineering teams who are writing the code, the product teams and marketing teams who are, you know, making a lot of these decisions on how our customers use our technology. And also, I guess, In the reality sense, when I'm talking to customers, even back in Australia, I didn't understand how important that was until I realized the types of services and applications they were running for their business on VMware technology. And I think that kind of brings it home to me of the impact that we're actually having. And I think, you know, it astounds me every day. It's kind of cool. And if I had known, I would have tried to do it earlier, sort of thing. I just came out of the community, came out of partner land and things like that. You know, landed at VMware and went, you know, the sky's the limit sort of thing. So it's been awesome.
Fantastic. And finally, thank you so much for your time today. According to the book of Greg, crunchy or smooth peanut butter?
It's definitely smooth for me. Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time.
So yeah, that's Greg Mulholland talking about SE and peanut butter, apparently. Yeah.
I think one of the interesting things that he said, and a lot of people don't realize, is that SEs go in and look for a solution to the problem, not necessarily try and push a solution just because they have to sell that solution. You know, they actually go talk to the customer and find out, hey, this is the requirement, these are the limitations, and, you know, maybe vSAN mightn't be the right fit for this. Maybe we're going to use an array with vVol or something on it, and they have the leverage and the power to make those decisions.
Yeah, the SE I can't stress enough, these guys are very heavily subscribed. They've got a lot going on. There's a lot of customers they could be meeting with that day, and sitting there and trying to force a square peg into a round hole just isn't their role. And they know that, you know, they're going much more for the easy win in that regard. And part of it is they have to have the knowledge and skill to know when the solution is the right solution.
Yeah, I've always had a tremendous amount of respect for a good sales engineer, because a good SE is well-rounded, right? They're a good people person. They're technically savvy, but they have integrity, and it's not just about selling. You know, it's about finding the right solution for the customer, and that is always the end game. And so to be a really good SE, I think you have to be a very well-rounded person. So there's some really good ones out there, especially at VMware. I've seen some really, really sharp SEs, and I think Greg hit it on the head when he pointed that out. You know, I've often heard people say that in order to be really good at technical marketing, it helps if you've got some background as an SE. John, you were an SE for a while, right?
Yeah, I was an SE, an architect at a partner. And yeah, the exposure I got to, most people who work for the same company for 5 years, which I did, they have experience with their environment and maybe, you know, a merger and acquisition or two. And the 5 years I was there, I was constantly doing projects. I probably worked with, you know, close to 100 customers on, you know, some basis. I worked with, you know, small customers. I worked with Fortune 1000s. Data center migrations were just something we were constantly doing. And so the amount of change you get exposed to being in an SE role, to where you're constantly talking to different customers, facing different challenges, you eventually get to that point to where you can't say you've seen everything, but you're at least not surprised.
Yep, yep. Well, that brings us to the last interview that we had, which was technical marketing. It's a role that the three of us on this call are doing currently. And we decided to get the answer to what exactly technical marketing is from our boss. What better person, right? So here is Ken Werneberg talking about what it is to be in technical marketing.
So Ken, how would you describe the role of tech marketing here at VMware?
I usually describe it as like a translation service of superstars. So we take engineering commentary, wikis, Confluence, talk to them, find out how products actually work, what they do, and then turn that into communications for our customers. And likewise, we talk to the customers, find out their feedback, how they're using the products, what they like, what they don't like, and then take that information back to product management. It's really kind of a really cool job because we get to talk to a whole bunch of different people about all aspects of the technology from the time it's being built until the time it's being used. So it's kind of fun. It's a really dynamic job all around. But
tell me the story when you realized that you wanted to get into tech marketing.
This is actually the second time I've told this story this week, and it's probably not until after I was in tech marketing. So my predecessor in the job, friend Michael White, he had been doing this for Site Recovery Manager, and he was moving into a different role, and he said, I think you should do this job. And I said, okay, well, that's really cool. Thank you for thinking of me. What is this job? And he goes, oh, well, it's a tech marketing. I said, what does tech marketing do? I'd never heard of it. I was in the field at the time, and I thought, well, that's interesting. And his answer was, anything that the product requires. I said, well, that sounds really fascinating. That's a lot of fun. What does tech marketing do? And he kept saying, oh, well, you know, this is anything. We present at conferences, we do white papers, demos, things along these lines, talk to the product managers and engineers. I said, okay, that sounds cool. So what does tech marketing do? Like, what is your day job? How do you, you know, you get up in the morning, you say, I'm going to go do some tech marketing, and crack your knuckles and look in the mirror and question your life choices. Like, what do you do? And it was kind of a leap of faith to some degree, because it sounded too good to be true. Like, sort of, wow, I get to talk to these people who are smarter than me, who are actually building these products, and they're going to use me as a conduit to talk to other people. Like, that sounds really fun. And it really, honestly, it wasn't until after I was already doing the job that I went, this is amazing. It's the most fun job I've had. And I really enjoyed my prior job as an SE. Like, I really enjoyed that a lot. But after I joined tech marketing and started doing that function, I think it was 3 months later, maybe even less, where I was supposed to do a joint presentation at VMworld with my predecessor, Michael, in both the US and over in Copenhagen. And then we were supposed to go on a trip to Sofia, where SRM was being developed. And he didn't bail out. He was asked to reprioritize what he was working on. So a couple of months in, okay, so now you're doing the SRM presentations at VMworld and VMworld EMEA, and you're going to go talk to the developers in Bulgaria on your own. See you later. And it was terrifying. It was just like absolutely terrifying. But when I got there and started to actually engage with these people and stand up on a stage, and I've done a lot of presenting throughout my life, but of course VMworld has a certain cachet to it that just kind of makes it more interesting, right? I was hooked. I just loved it after that. It was absolutely sort of a little bit of trial by fire, but then immediately it sunk in. I thought, this is what I want to do.
Awesome. So tell me three things that kind of jump off that page. What are the three things that you love most about this job?
I think those are the things. I mean, the ability to communicate directly with engineers and find out the real goods about how a product is working. That's a very privileged thing. Not a lot of people are given that leeway to be able to consume time from an engineering group. But I think the value placed on that role is sufficient that it's worth it. So I love that. I love finding out the actual technical details of how things work. And there's all sorts of stuff. I mean, anyone that's worked with software knows that, you know, the UI is the surface, but it's like an iceberg. There's this massive, massive amount of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. And that's not apparent to most users, even the very advanced ones. So I love nerding out, basically. I love finding out that stuff. Even if we never communicate that to other people, I love it. So that's probably the first thing. The second thing is probably, I mean, I don't like using the term evangelism. It's more an enablement, but let's just call it the presenting aspects of it. Once you have that level of expertise, there's really something phenomenal about being able to share that with other people and tell them, this is what I know about the product, and this is why I think you are going to love the product, and this is what it can do for you, and this is how it works, and this is why it works that way. So having that breadth of expertise and being able to share that with people, love that. Absolutely love that. And honestly, I mean, I like communication. So writing, blogging, presenting, all of those pieces, that's the output of it. And I enjoy all three of those things. So the nerding out, the communication, and the sharing, the education aspects, those are the big ones for me.
Awesome. So what is something that people don't tell you about this job before you take it?
Another one of my favorite topics. I've got people that are, you know, always interested because it is a very, very cool job. And people come up and say, yeah, I want to do tech marketing. It looks great. But again, what they see is the output. What they don't see is the lab time that goes into it behind the scenes. Like really, meetings are obviously a burden for everyone. But just the raw keyboard time that it takes to get that expertise, hearing it from an engineer is cool. Trying to build something with a beta build or even, you know, an off-cycle build or something along those lines to get it working so that you can actually learn the product takes a huge amount of keyboard time. And I think it's, again, it's fun because how can you talk about something unless you spent the time in the lab with that particular piece of code? So I think that's probably the big one that people don't tell you about tech marketing. It is a hands-on role. It's not a pure outward-facing stand up and smile at the audience and shake babies and kiss hands and things like that. So that's it.
Okay. And finally, to wrap this up, thank you so much for joining us today. So let's assume the world is being overrun by zombies and you've got a choice. You can grab a flamethrower or a crowbar. Which one do you go for?
It's pretty straightforward. It depends entirely on the distance that you have between you and the horde and you and the distance between the two weapons. And if somebody else is holding one of those weapons. So what I would do, given sufficient time, I would grab whichever weapon is closest. Then I would either flamethrower or crowbar the guy who has the other weapon, take them both, and then go after the zombie horde. Now, if the zombie horde is encroaching on me, that's a different story. Then what you do is you grab the crowbar, kneecap the guy with the other weapon, take his weapon, and run the other way.
All righty, Ken. Thanks so much for joining us.
I think the reason that Ken hasn't run for president yet is that he shakes babies and kisses hands.
There's so much we can dissect from that clip. I don't even know where to begin.
Well, I mean, the nerding out part, for me at least, is the immediately obvious thing that you get to go and talk to engineers and PMs and find out, you know, under the covers how this stuff actually works, and you learn about stuff like distributed systems problems. Like in the first 3 months that I worked here, I had learned so many theoretical problems I did not know existed.
Yeah.
That, you know, are just assumed and, you know, masked from most people, especially with like a solution like vSAN that's natively distributed. It just makes it so easy to set it up. You don't ever have to think about this. And then suddenly I'm learning about Raft and Paxos and all these quorum algorithms and, you know, consensus protocols and this kind of stuff. You know, the nerd aspect for me is definitely one of the big things.
Yeah, the challenge is sometimes you're like, why did we do that? And then 3 hours later in the Confluence the Engineering Wikis, you're like, oh, wow, I feel like I've been plugged straight into the matrix and I'm like seeing numbers floating on walls.
Yeah, it definitely is a good benefit for any technical marketing team in any company is to have access to the customers, to communicate, to share that information, you know, blogging, whether you're podcasting, blogging or speaking at trade shows. But then to be inside the sausage factory, talking to the product managers, talking to the engineers, and in essence, influencing them as well, being a big part of the solution. So I think technical marketing is a very rewarding role.
Right. And I mean, feedback from customers is one of the main things as well that we can contribute. You know, if you go to VMworld or conferences or whatever it is, you do customer meetings, you can go to the engineers and figure out why something works that way. If there's a reason for it, and tell the customer. But if it doesn't work a way that's expected, you have input into the product. You know, why can't it work this way? And then you can help PM or whatever to prioritize things from stuff that you hear in the field.
I agree.
The key thing I focus in on that Ken said was, wait, this can't be real. Like, is this really, what's the catch? Because it really is an awesome job in terms of if you like presenting, if you like learning about content, if you like spending time in the lab, if you like talking with customers about what's going on, if you like doing training, you know, it's really a great balance.
The interesting thing is, like you say, you have to explain this job. And I've had two very distinct reactions from people that find out that I work in tech marketing. One is, wow, that is the coolest job in the world. How do I get one of those? And the other is, no, so what do you actually do?
Yeah.
Like, really, what happens?
Yeah, I've had that exact experience. Well, there are a plethora of jobs you could take, regardless of the company that you're looking at. If you're in the IT industry, that, you know, from sales to engineering to tech marketing to even product marketing, which is a whole nother field that's really interesting. So lots of great jobs out there. But there are times, you know, you may be in, I think everybody might go through this at least once in their life, but there are times you might even find yourself on the other end of that, where you're being reduced, you know, where if there's a riff coming, and you might fall victim to that. And so I wanted to bring that up because I recently heard a podcast by Yadin Porter. He runs a small podcast called The Tech Village. Really cool podcast. If you haven't listened to it, just Google Tech Village podcast. And episode 8, they had a young lady by the name of Nikki Acosta come on, and she talked about like what it is to navigate through the emotional and logistical hurdles of being laid off. So it was a very interesting podcast, and certainly one that I think everybody should give a listen to. So quick plug out to Yadin and Tech Village. Yeah, so lots of great information out there. This by no means is an exhaustive list of all the different roles that are out there in this IT industry of ours. We wanted to share a couple of them with you. And so a big thanks to John for that blog post on helping us understand what we should expect or might be considering when interviewing for a job. Big thanks to Mr. Glenn Sizemore for getting out there and capturing the description of those different roles. And Miles, also a big thanks to you, my friend, for joining us and talking about your career experience. Miles, John, any closing thoughts on this topic before we take off?
Yeah, I think no matter what your job is at the moment, there's always room for evolution in the future. Whenever I was younger, I wanted to be a chef. That died pretty quickly. And then I started working in, you know, sysadmin, engineering stuff. I didn't think I was going to be the guy at VMworld, you know, standing up, making presentations. But, you know, that's what I do now. So you just find different hats in different jobs. You know, if you work for a smaller company or smaller partner like I did, you generally get to experience lots of different roles. Even though you have a distinct role, you get, you know, pulled into pre-sales meetings with customers. You get to work on architecture and all that kind of stuff, as well as the day-to-day engineering things. So no matter what your specialty is, there's always room to expand into different areas.
Nice. I agree.
The closing thought I can think of is just don't grow complacent. Always be looking out. Always be learning. This is a field that's constantly changing. And it, you know, as long as you change with it, you'll be fine. But keep your eye out there and always be networking, always talking to others in the field, learning about other roles, other jobs and things like that. Don't just hide in your bubble. So come to VMworld and have a beer with us and talk about what job you want.
I love it. I love it. All right.
And a beers with John at VMworld Eventbrite invitation.
Beers with VMworld. Friends, we should have a Friends of the Podcast like beer reception or whatever on Monday night.
I like it. I like it.
I don't think they have a bit. I don't think they have a big enough venue for that.
Sponsored by John. All right. Well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. You can subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this and all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. A big thanks to all the folks that did the interviews, Glenn for capturing them, Miles for hanging with us this week. We'll see you next week. But until then, bye for now.
I'm actually focusing on my career.
Oh, yeah.
I have people skills. I am good at...
We have sort of a problem here.
Yeah.
Enough of this jibber jabber.